This is The Calling, your guide to leading modern contact centres. On the show, we'll share innovative strategies, expert insights, and success stories from industry leaders across the world. You'll learn everything you need to turn your contact centre into a strategic value centre, where interactions become memorable experiences. I'm Sean McGinn.
And I'm Arnie Hope.
Today, we're chatting with Dina Levy and Phil Zammit from Zoom, the video communications platform. Now, Zoom is making some exciting moves in the customer experience space, and Dina and Phil are both playing important roles in the development of Zoom CX. Dina is a head of customer experience channels, and Phil is the head of go-to-market for Zoom CX.
In this episode, Dina and Phil explain the latest technology from Zoom CX and how it's helping reshape customer experience for businesses. They'll also share their thoughts on the trends they're seeing across the industry from a tech standpoint and a customer standpoint. Plus, Dina and Phil look to the future and share their predictions for AI and tech in the customer experience world. Let's jump in. Dina, Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
It's great to have you here. Dina and Phil, you're both heads of Zoom CX. Dina, you lead the customer experience channel, and Phil, you lead the go-to-market side of things. So I'd love to know a little bit about Zoom CX and what your roles are. Dina, let's start with you. Can you give us a quick summary of your role?
Yes. So, Sean, I have been brought in to recruit and enable CX partners for our newly launched Zoom customer experience platform. So my job entails, you know, talking to lots of partners from all different areas, we call it, so different types of categories of partners, and looking at how they can help us to really drive, you know, the platform to where it needs to go.
Dina, can you take us to the beginning? How did you get started in this sort of contact center space?
It all just landed by chance. I was actually working at Optus as an account executive at the time, looking after banking and finance territory. And I decided it was time to kind of make a change. Someone said to me, how would you describe yourself in one word, right? And the word that came to mind was bold. I think that best describes me in the sense of in what I do generally, right, make bold moves. I immigrated to Australia at the age of 15 on my own. That was pretty bold. And I moved from being an account executive at Optus in telecommunications and jumped into a contact center, right, which was pretty bold, right? I didn't really know anything about it. And how it came about is I was talking to a recruiter and he was actually with Verint. I fell in love with the technology. I fell in love with their workforce optimization suite and how that would help, you know, not just the customer, but also the employee experience. And so that's how I have now landed in contact center. And from there, obviously, you know, that has progressed into how I've landed here at Zoom.
And Phil, tell us about your role. What does that look like?
So, yeah, as Dina covered, she's leading the go-to-market from a channel creation and nurturing point of view. I have similar, different responsibility to build on the customer side.
Very good. And what's your origin story with contact centers?
I need to think of a better one, Dina. I think yours is a little bit more interesting than mine. I think it's just a process in life, Sean, around just design and circumstance, isn't it? I think just through a number of opportunities in a more tender age, the opportunity was there to get more involved with customers on that contact center, customer experience side of the house. And I really, I guess it's a little bit cliche, but a bit corny, but really fell in love with that because what I saw, the impact on the customer side, because it's the most crucial part of the engagement from a customer point of view, whether it's a commercial organization, enterprise organization, or even a public sector, you know, citizen-based engagement. There's nothing really more important than that. And that became really interesting for me. And then I think it probably then really morphed into inspiring for me to see what customers, if they nailed it, if they got it right, what that could actually really do for their end customer, end consumer, and their own employees. But I think that became really, really, really motivating for me, kind of really seductive, I think, to be involved in that because, you know, within the context of a sort of technology space, if you like, there's some interesting parts, yeah, but there's a lot of boring parts. And really, there's nothing more interesting than the customer experience conversation for me. So maybe it's also I've got a very short attention span. That was exciting, interesting for me.
There's definitely a theme with people who find themselves in the contact center industry for a long time. It's that there is something a little bit seductive, as you said, or addictive about that, being so close to the interface with the customers and feeling like you can really make a difference. Something very tangible about that that we find.
Definitely isn't. And also the CX industry, the domain has a really, really clever way of always evolving. And, you know, the parameters are always changing. That hand in glove with CRM now and the customer relation, single source of truth, all of that space is now then moving into AI, and what does that look like for organizations? So it's just constantly evolving. Not to say other technology spaces aren't, but it's just such a ever-evolving and broadening conversation area. So I think as a result, it really keeps you, you know, engaged. Because I think if you were just doing the same thing for a long, long time, you'd probably get a little bit autopilot-y on it and a bit bored. So certainly not bored, Dina, are we? No. Maybe then with this podcast, we might, you know, depends if the audience like us or not, I suppose, but yeah.
Let's see. Talking about evolving, let's get into understanding more about what's happening at Zoom. It sounds like there's some exciting stuff happening at the moment, and both of you are leading that charge. Phil, can you start by just explaining a little bit about Zoom CX and what these new offerings are?
Yeah, sure. From my point of view anyway, you guys can determine it. The best way I talk about the evolution of the Zoom platform is to start with what most people are familiar with and have learned to love, I guess, which we appreciate. Thank you. The use of Zoom from that collaboration perspective, that video engagement, you know, screen share point of view, and that use of that technology during some, you know, tough times in the world over the last 3, 4, 5 years. So we've got a significant privilege, I think, Arnie, in terms of customers that are well-versed on the use of Zoom. And this, I think, Dan, the way we talk about it is there's like this love for Zoom that we encounter all the time, which is really amazing. And the story really evolves around that 3 or 4 year period back where a lot of customers that were so engaged, almost partnership level with Zoom, we're really saying, look, our consumers, our users are so familiar with the use of Zoom, it kind of stands to reason to extend that capability from an employee experience collaboration world. We'd love to bring our customers into that domain. And if you kind of visualize this bubble, this domain that we're living in as users today from a collaboration point of view, and that customer comes into that, well, you can start doing some really amazing things, can't you, in the same omni-channel way with customers that you do with your colleagues today across different channels, not just video collaboration, you know, voice, chat, screen share, etc. So that idea, that concept of really creating that unified customer and employee experience is really the origination of the story, really. And so from that, then heavily driven by customer feedback, was when we started to release a whole bunch of products and solutions and services natively on the extension of the Zoom platform. So things like the Zoom Contact Center, which is our powerful omni-channel cloud contact center as a service, which we released in February of last year. So it's been out now for about 16, 18 months. And Zoom Virtual Agent, which is, as the name suggests, is our chatbot solution. And a growing number of solutions, all using a federated AI model on the consistency of the platform, all really designed just to allow that freedom for organizations. So once they're on the Zoom platform and they're familiar with it and they want to extend that employee experience and the customer experience, like I talked about, where you just can now, just dynamically. You know, it's all about trying to access that functionality on demand where it makes sense for an organization. And one thing that we've seen, again, back to my maybe earlier point about design and circumstance, what's been really interesting to see with the Zoom Contact Center as a service solution, our ZCC solution, is a lot of organizations are using that increasingly as this orchestration engine of a much more joined up, unified customer journey. You know what I mean? So if you think of it more as that heartbeat for a customer journey, which has been notoriously quite difficult, I think, in terms of when you're engaging with a customer, and now I want to bring someone from the back office into that, and how do I orchestrate that really dynamically, and how do I analyze it across the end-to-end, and how do I add video into that potentially for a deeper type of empathetic service experience, and how do I do that without, I'm just talking now, aren't I? How do I do that in such a way that's managed easily, administered easily.
I wouldn't mind drilling into the point you made about people love Zoom. They've had really good experiences with it and and it was there, as you said, to support people through that time where we were all working from home. How do you think about changing people's perception of Zoom from video to this broader solution that you've got, particularly with the incumbents that are in the space, that they're very, the contact center industry has got a lot of big incumbents in it and they're all very well known and been around for a very long time. So yeah, how do you think about changing people's mindset about what Zoom is or what it can be?
It sounds, again, probably a little bit cliche, a bit corny, but I think we're genuinely not looking at that as a challenge statement. We're looking at that as an opportunity for us to leverage the goodwill, the affection, which is probably a funny word to use, I think, in a corporate kind of sense, isn't it? But there is a warm reception that we get from customers. So there's a willingness to listen and learn. I think the onus, therefore, is on us to explain the why, isn't it? There's a bunch of tech and that's great, but why do we think it's relevant and of value and pertinent for a customer? And then if we do that well, and the way to do that well, the why should always be focusing on what the customer is looking to achieve, then I believe, yeah, we are seeing the results, Dina, isn't it, where customers are not becoming very receptive because we're not trying to just say, hey, there's a really cool little widget we've got over here. Is anyone interested in having a crack at that? So we are genuinely approaching it in that way.
Dina, do you have any thoughts on that question?
Yeah, I think Phil kind of touched on this in his previous answer around a kind of vision or the value proposition around that CX and EX, bringing the CX, the back office into the front office elegantly. And that's something that's probably, you know, been spoken about for a long time in the industry in terms of how do you create or dynamically create that single operating organization. And I think with having a platform like Zoom, right, where, as you say, you know, people are familiar, they have that experience, and now, you know, everything is native, you know, that omni-channel cloud platform is all seamless, right? So these kind of new channels, or I guess access to bring on these new channels, becomes quite quickly when customers want to experiment and trial out whether it will work or not work, right? Prove, disprove what they're trying to do. And I guess the platform allows them to do that. So I think, as Phil said, we're not here to tell them how to do it, but we're definitely providing technology to enable what they want to do, how they want to do it, and test that out.
So Dina, I was just wondering, like, do you have any stories you can tell us of how your customers have used some of these benefits?
It's a great question. I'm going to hand that to Phil only because of the time that I've actually been at Zoom so far in terms of grabbing all that data. So I might just bring Phil into that one.
If you've got any examples along those lines, Phil, particularly the experimentation, because I think that's quite interesting, like having the capability to be able to do that is quite cool.
Yeah, there's a growing number. I think in terms of sort of brevity, there's any number that actually jump out. If you think about publicly referenceable customer examples that I can talk about there and I can talk about, if you look at My Plan Manager as an Australian, you know, really super progressive organisation in that NDIS space with an overwhelming focus on the client and the provider in their chain in terms of the engagement model and getting that right and always improving that. They were one of the first adopters of some of our core Zoom CX products like Zoom Contact Center, and then have actually embraced a lot of the innovation area like workforce management and being one of the first customers globally in terms of, and in fact, you can actually look at things like experimentation as an example there, Sean, to that question, where not only have they used our technology to experiment on how they can improve the automation and the efficiency of their agents, but that itself, I mean, how good is this, has actually directly changed some of the attributes and thinking of our own product on release. And I mean, you can't get too much more of a partnership level engagement model than that, right? And so if you look at the University of Newcastle, where again, they had this vision or have this vision, sorry, in terms of creating a much more joined up, unified service experience for students, and how do they optimize, again, to, you know, to Dina's point, the kind of classic challenge of where the answers may not actually be sitting in the technical, if you like, citizen services or student services front office, but sitting in the faculty. How do you bring that in dynamically? So there's a lot of innovation and opportunity for that level. What we're also seeing, if you look at a company like Caring for You, again, a really interesting, super progressive organization in the nurse medical field, where they're looking at using video for the first time as an engagement channel. You know, Sean, we've talked about this in the past. If you look at video as one of those relatively outlier channels historically in contact center and customer experience. And I think that becomes probably the most vivid answer and illustration to your question around where we're starting to see, and to Dina's point, we don't have the answer for that, but what we're starting to see is where organizations are starting to use video as an engagement medium and where that's kind of popping up. And intuitively, you look at that and you go, well, high value, you know, premium relationship service experience. Not only, again, you know, Zoom is known for, look at National Australia Bank, where even before the release of our customer experience portfolio of products, they were using video for upwards of 40% of mortgage claim engagement using video as that channel. But how do you do that at scale in that customer journey, customer experience space? You know what I mean? So that's been really, not only has been really interesting, but is increasingly being really interesting for us to observe where customers are using more differentiated service experiences, not just limited to, but highlighting video as an example. But again, if you look at video, video is just one step, isn't it? Video from an engagement perspective, video, step one, video with screen share, step two, video with screen share and co-browse, step three. So there's a whole bunch there that is starting to bubble to the surface, I think, in terms of experimentation and the use of analytics as well, which everyone talks about, I think, but to Dina's point, has been usually quite difficult though, isn't it? You know, it's great for vendors like us, and, you know, name the vendor to say, yeah, well, you can do this out of the box. Well, in actual real terms, Sean, which, you know, better than we do, is a bit easier to say than actually to do. And so our significant driver around simplicity, again, has been driven from customers saying, we actually just want this to be simple, ideally native, to make it as attainable for us as possible. Because again, if you think about the idea of analytics, well, I can analyze a customer journey and I can start seeing areas of optimization. But if it takes me 3 weeks of change control to actually make a change to get to that, well, I probably won't. Do you know what I mean? So how do I do that as simply and as powerfully as possible?
Nice. And for any listeners that aren't too familiar with that term native, what do you mean when you say it's native?
Native, it's part of it. It's built into it. You know, it's not separate, which means it's one customer journey end to end. So when you talk seamless, that seamless gives you that experience because you don't have to think about how am I going to talk to this system and swap over, or if, for example, from an omnichannel perspective, if customers connecting with us via different channels, is that all seamed up? Is it all separate or is it integrated? And what we say, is it native? Because when it's native, right, you can actually look at that entire experience, analyze that entire experience, that journey. You can add that personalization quite quickly to that customer.
Great answer.
Maybe the only addition to that is back to your earlier question, Sean and Arnie, was an example. If you look at, to Dina's point, if you look at a deliberate approach that Zoom took on the acquisition of a company called Solvvy, which was one of the leading conversational AI, really designed heavily around for the customer service automation space. And when we acquired that organization, Zoom really had a decision to go one of two ways, wasn't it? Is to bring that maybe a more traditional sort of acquisition model, bring that technology and integrate it, to Dina's point, onto the Zoom platform. And there's benefits for that, one being speed, isn't it? The other scenario that we took, though, and you know, I think credit to the Zoom leadership, was to delay the launch of that by replatforming it natively, the IP of the product, onto the Zoom platform. So there is no, you know, handshake, there is no integration, there's no band-aid to that. It's just native to the Zoom platform, to Dina's point. I think that early on in the time that I joined Zoom, I thought that was a really interesting observation to see that as a vendor making that decision to delay, you know, there's a time to revenue, time to impact and so on, that actually took the deliberate strategy to replatform that onto the Zoom platform.
All right, so Dina, what do you see as some of the big benefits for your clients with this new technology?
You know, we talk about this a lot, I guess, when we present to customers. And Phil, you know what I'm talking about. When we refer back to the KPMG Global CX, I think it's excellence report. And personalization is really, you know, number one. And I think Phil used this word earlier, nail, which is when the customer nails personalization, they get that customer experience right. And so I think, you know, in terms of that AI-powered personalization, which is where we come in, is really going to be key.
Yeah, probably on that note on AI. So obviously big in the industry at the moment,
Maybe I'll go to Phil first on this. What do you think the future of AI looks like in the contact center world?
In my view, it should all be about helping. There is a lot of hype, isn't there, about the use of AI? And there's examples that all of us have, probably personally and professionally, where it's pretty amazing to watch, isn't it? I think in the context of customer experience, the use of AI has, in my view, and certainly listening to customers, the greatest applicability is in the helping use case. So something like a validation and authentication scenario of a customer calling or coming into a service center, which has always been and still is notoriously difficult and painful and time consuming. And do you really want a really highly paid, valuable human agent to do validation 78 times an hour? Maybe not. And so that's a great example where I think AI, and really, actually not even AI really in some ways, it's pretty simple automation really in some ways, at the front end can do that. Then you start thinking about the concept of agent assist, supervisor assist, automated quality management and so on. So for me, that help, maybe moniker, is all about how can I remove the mundane for a human, not as a deliberate resource optimization strategy. There's probably benefits there as well, but as a means to actually remove stuff that we as humans don't necessarily really want to do. Do you really want that person doing that? And all of us have examples of that in our day-to-day life anyway, right? There's probably 25 things a day that I do. Like, really, why am I doing this? And, but does it have a demonstrable, measurable impact in the service that I deliver my customers? Maybe, actually. But from a contact center point of view, we know that it does, isn't it? So if you can remove that and actually help that agent, help the customer deliver self-service as an option as opposed to having to wait for an answer where it makes sense, I think there's almost endless scenarios for the use of the banner term of machine learning, with automation probably the subset in that.
And Dina, how about for you?
I'll add to that, actually, just a side note. I was using Spotify the other day and all of a sudden this virtual DJ popped up and I was like, oh, what is this? And it basically provided me a DJ service of all my songs. Now,
Are you serious?
Between me and my kid, we listen to a variety of artists and musicians, and so then the DJ pops up and then he takes the best of it and then he also introduces new stuff, right? And I'm going, this is brilliant. This is exactly what I want. So I guess that's essentially how I see the benefit of AI coming into the contact center industry specifically. But more importantly is, Sean, someone like you, your role and how you play such a critical role, and businesses like yours, consultants that really understand the space and don't have other things from an organization perspective that are impairing or impeding them from actually being able to move forward or look at the customer experience the way that you would. And so someone like yourself coming in and helping, guiding, navigating, helping them experiment, customers experience in the right way with AI, I think can really help improve the customer experience really well.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the day where AI takes over the role of the consultant as well. Hopefully it's a long way away, but you never know. We always finish up with two questions. We ask all our guests these. If you could change one thing about the contact center industry, what would it be? Let's start with you, Phil.
From a vendor technology point of view, I think the industry can probably improve the way in which we're trying to focus on the customer and their requirements as opposed to just merely trying to sell, I think, you know, the new shiny widget and so on. And I think, you know, Dina's last comment there comes to mind, because one of the things that has been a real privilege and eye-opener for me to observe is actually spending time in a contact center and the life and the challenge of a contact center and running that, both physical human and now into the automation side of things, with the complexity of systems and tools required to actually solve the problem for the customer. It's really challenging, you know, and I think sometimes the industry can do a little bit of a better job to try and put its, as a vendor side of the equation, like I was saying, put ourselves in the customer's shoes a little bit more and understand that there's the technology one is only one piece, and Dina's point is, but actually operationalizing it, you know, rolling it out with any type of benefit is the hard bit, you know. So I think we can be a little bit more sensitive to just making statements to say, yeah, once you've got this and you've got now an AI conversational AI thingy, everything's done, you're sweet. Not to say anyone's saying that per se, but maybe directionally. So I think we can always improve the way in which we're trying to empathise. That's what we talk about, isn't it, Dina, from an empathetic point of view and so on. I think sometimes we can get a little bit, what's that US term, Sean Arnie? We can get a bit sort of ahead of our own skis sometimes about how cool and funky the tech is, but in reality it's a lot more difficult to actually deploy it and then run it in life.
I haven't heard that term. Yeah, maybe you're here. Is this coming from Zoom headquarters there in the States? There,
they're not fully PR approved. The sister term is wrapped around the axle.
Oh, really?
Wrapped around the axle.
There's a few of those. Yeah.
Huh.
They sound like they'd be good corporate values.
Probably an AI engine will come up with a few more this afternoon.
Oh, without doubt.
That's right.
What about you, Dina?
Okay, I look at it two ways. I think employee well-being. Contact center has a really high churn rate, you know, as we know. And I really feel like if we could advocate, or if I could advocate, or we could just better support the employees in terms of changing that. I think, you know, at the end of the day, someone at the end of the phone or channel, whoever's, you know, responding, that agent, if they're happy, they're content, if they're really happy doing what they want to do, then that experience to the end customer will change, will be different. If they're stuck, or they're angry or frustrated, I think that will also make a difference. So, yeah, I think that for me is something I'd like to see change or improve, I guess. And then probably from a customer experience perspective or technology perspective, I think that organizations really need to prioritize more around enhancing the personalization for customers. Because when you think about it, you know, even when you go and get your coffee order, which is, you know, a simple customer experience, right? It's when someone goes, oh, thanks, Dina, here's your coffee, or oh, it's Dina, I know your coffee, right? Automatically, I'm like, yeah, I like to come back to you because you know who I am and you know what my order is. And I think that personalization is so important in ultimately improving customer experience.
All right, so last question then. If you had a crystal ball, what do you think the future of contact centers looks like? This time, we'll start with you, Dina.
I don't know. The future probably in the direction that this world is going is highly automated, you know, and AI driven, really getting humans to deal with the more complex, challenging issues. So I think that's what I would predict in terms of where it's going. And probably the more the use of more data, analytics and AI, probably to help again with that personalized experience. I think that will definitely be a more of a game changer. And I think there will be a really strong emphasis on that omni-channel, right, that native omni-channel experience. I think that would be super important.
Very good. And what about you, Phil?
The appropriate one-word answer would be Zoom.
That one's PR approved.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, great to talk with you guys. Yeah, I think everything that Dean says, I mean, we had a meeting a couple of days ago and the word this gentleman used a couple of times was the word adaptive. Wasn't it? That sort of been running around in my head actually a little bit. The idea of all of those inputs being, to Dennis' point, being capable of accessing the data and the integrity of the data there, which is a challenge for organisations, as you know. So who is Phil? Is in a custom database and there might be 25 records. So if you can get that right and you can automate where it makes sense. But if the technology and therefore the operating environment supported with people is adaptive to the customer, in whatever channel, in the context, video might be the right thing because it's a sensitive, complex scenario. It's password reset, so you know, SMS is fine or whatever. You know, that type of truly adaptive, flexible environment for the customer, I think, is where the future is at. And I think there's a lot of examples of customers, to their credit, that have deployed some incredible scenarios. And it's probably been incredibly difficult for them to do that, to stitch together a whole bunch of non-native, there you go, seamed to make that viable. So that idea of this all singing or dancing, this adaptive environment for the customer, I think is almost getting towards what I would say is nirvana or panacea. Yeah. But Zoom is the answer, Arnie.
Of course. I'm glad you said it.
I think that adaptability is really, really important, something that we always talk about with our clients as well. And it's good to see that the technology has caught up with that need, because I don't think before the pandemic that was the case. That was in a lot of cases that the organization or the people had to adapt to the technology. Now the technology's far more adaptable to what both businesses need and what customers need. And I think that the data, you know, those things being native as well, it's going to be the buzzword for this podcast. But all of those things and the ability to experiment as well, I think, really lend themselves to really adaptable solutions. So that is good. I love your visions for the future. I hope they all come true.
Yep, same here.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for your time. It's lovely to talk to you. Very fun guests, which was good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Thanks.
Awesome.
You've been listening to The Calling, your guide to leading modern contact centres. This podcast is produced by Callo, where art and science come together to turn interactions into experiences. If you're interested in how Callo can help you, head to our website at calloconsulting.com.au. The Calling was produced with strategy and production support from Wavelength Creative. So you don't miss an episode of The Calling, don't forget to subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And please leave a 5-star review. It really helps others find the show. I'm Sean McGinn.
And I'm Arnie Ho. And we'll catch you next time on The Calling.